Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
Get beyond all the emotions of anger, frustration, sorrow,
all the many emotions that go through with experiencing it, and people experience it, you know, all over the world and in this country. Just the, you know, senseless killing of innocent children and what, you know, actually goes on with people trying to just make it to the next minute, you know, at this time. And, you know, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're just going to try to be talking about, you know, the why, you know, dealing with the why, dealing with the how, you know, dealing with the how come, dealing with all those emotions of what happens when this type of tragedy strikes us. And, you know, it's a devastating blow. And we're going to just kind of, you know, talk about it a little bit tonight and just try to, you know, work our way through it. It's tough, you know. You hear, you know, the Virginia Tech murders, 33 students were killed. You know, the recent attacks in Aurora and movie theater. But when you get down to the little kids, get down to the little, that just, to me, that's a new level, that's a new low. It's evil to, you know, just, you know, ruthlessly kill young children. And, you know, it's been, you know, the why has been floated that this young man who's 20 years old, Adam Lanza, mother was a teacher at Sandy Hook Elementary School, and that she was well-loved in her community and at school. This young man killed his mother and then went to the school and killed the principal and the staff members there, and then went on to kill students in the classroom. And some of the profilers and experts have surmised that the young man didn't steal or had trouble with the love that was given out to the school, to the principal, to the staff, to the children that the mother dealt with. To a point where he felt neglected, and to a point where he wanted to extract his pleasure of all those people who had developed, you know, great relationships with his mother, and something, you know, surmised that he did not feel, and so because he did not feel that, he wanted to lash out to the people that he felt were getting this love and adoration for his mother. And, you know, that is you know, just being thrown out there. So, I wouldn't say thrown out there, just people, you know, that you know, go in and look at these things and profile and try to get to the why and you know, try to get to the how come, and, you know, it's just shocking. Our president spoke to the American people today and said that, you know, our hearts are broken. And, I think it really, really is where we are, where I think as a country we're fed up with these types of things. You know, the range of emotions from, like I said, heartbroken, devastated, angry, to, you know, confused, to all of those things is, you know, what we're feeling right now as a country. And you just just struggle for words to say. Even as a minister, as a pastor, you struggle for, you know, words to say, to counsel people, to, you know, continue to hold on to their faith, to their belief, in a higher power that would comfort them during this time of desperate emotional strain, and we would also give counsel people to be a listening ear to the children, you know, tonight, going forward. Just let them know that you love them, let them know that you are there for them. You know, just spend a little extra time with the children, with the family, slow it down a little bit, and you know, let them express their emotions, and you express your emotions, your feelings, and let them know that, you know, we're human, and, you know, it's not easy to deal with these types of tragedies, and it's okay to mourn, it's okay to weep. It's okay to feel stressed out. All of the range of emotions that go along with it. And, you know, we heard the governor of Connecticut say we'll get through this. And, you know, it's tough, and it's really raw. But as a people, a country, truly we will get through this. And a lot of times, things like this are what are catalysts to put things in place as a people that help to mitigate, to create things, put things in place that would be less of these things happening. Not to say that it would ever stop, but it would be more aggressive. Looking into it, you know, on the state, local, federal level, and community level, to come together with whatever resources are required to help start having less and less of these things happen. And no one knows the exact answer, something that all of us will have to get together and, you know, just pray and ask God to help. To, you know, at every level, you know, come to grips and you know, come against these types of things. One of the things that you get with these type of massacres and shootings is you get what they call a copycat. And, you know, you get a lot of airtime, a lot of press time, and, you know, people who are struggling or challenged, you know, psychologically, mentally, that there is something that they can look at and say, okay, this is how this went down. And you know, I'm feeling a certain way, and I believe that I can do this to get back or to have an effect because I feel bad. And they see an example, and you know, Columbine, of Aurora, or any massacre that you have at Virginia Tech. So they turn to the weapons, the handguns, assault rifles, and you know, begin to the uniform of the heavy armor and just, you know, time after time you see this type of MO that these people take up and begin to, you know, mimic and begin to act out in similar manner. It's really a tough thing to see. So that's what we're talking about. We're just, you know, we're at the open line tonight, just talking about these things. If you want to be a part of the conversation tonight, we invite you to call 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. We're talking about, you know, the why, the how, the result of, you know, these tragedies. We're talking about the massacre, the shooting of 20 elementary age students, possibly six adults in elementary school, who were murdered today by a 20-year-old gunman. Who then turned the weapon on himself, killed himself, believed that he also killed his mother. It is very, very time right now in our country dealing with the losses of life, particularly with young children. And that's what we're talking about tonight. If you desire to just chime in, have a word or a thought, we invite you to do that tonight. And you can call in 347-324-5569. We thank everyone who tuned in last night on our T-Dot pilot number 11. We were having an interactive family style Bible study, and it was really, really exciting with Pastor Sheila G and Pastor C and Pastor Dr. Gregory. We were talking about the Ten Commandments, I think, to about four of them. But one of those in there, I guess we'll start with that next week, talks about not killing. And, you know, that having, you know, that type of study, you know, we haven't got into it of what it means to take another person's life. And it seems as if taking others' lives has become something that is done particularly to innocent, not, you know, enemy combatants or you know, people that are trying to harm you, but it seems like innocent life is being taken too many times when people, whatever mental health or whatever hang up or whatever their struggle is, feel that they've been dealt a bad hand. And so they take it out on people who are defenseless and are in no way can, you know, fight back. And it's just a tragedy all the way around. And again, our prayers go out, our thoughts and prayers go out to all the families who've lost loved ones. It's just time is the only thing that will try to make it better or help to make it better, and we just pray that during that time the God will continue to be with you and comfort you and let you know that he's there and that he cares. And pray that you just facing angels and people around you to show his love and his kindness, his grace and his mercy. And also, you know, big a thought and prayer go out to all the first responders. Many times we've talked about this on Pastors Aid and CDC, about the first responders and just what they have to face. The first one on the scene dealing with, you know, 911 calls, talking about shooters, you know, elementary. I don't know how you would deal with it and going in there and not knowing, you know, where the shooter is, who the shooter is. And, you know, kids terrified and frightened. Teachers doing their best to protect children, and, you know, not knowing if there's more than one shooter, not knowing if there's bombs placed or any of these things. You need people to run into these situations. You know, I'm just reminded of how the firefighters on 9/11. Those buildings were struck by those two planes. How those brave first responders were running into harm's way as people they were trying to save were running out the building. They were running into the building, trying to do whatever they could as their duty or their job to take care of the situation. You know, I have to go off to the first responders that arrived at the school and were able to, you know, secure it and to get the surviving children and students out of the building, and to have to deal with witnessing the murdered bodies of these five and 10-year-olds. It is rough. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. We're going to come back. We're going to come back and talk. Be back in about 2 minutes.
somebody. The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
To be able to just talk about, what's going on, and to let them know it's okay to express their range of emotion, and to realize that everyone grieves differently, and everyone responds differently, and for a different time frame, and just to be able to take it minute by minute to work their way through these things. And tears will come, anger will come, frustration, numbness, all of the above and more. And to just be able to sometimes just sit and to listen. And then sometimes just to be there will begin to help in trying to restore them to wellness. And it's not an easy process, even for the first responders who respond in the area of caregivers, but also in the area of ministry leaders or psychiatrists. It's a tough road, and sometimes people can do well and then they have lapses and they fall back. Even the people who've have gone through previous, like 9/11 and Columbine and Aurora, Virginia Tech, these things, they rip the scab off of stuff that has already been healed, and the wound is still there, and these things irritate the wound, and they conjure up these emotions and feelings again. And so we pray for those people also. And many of them have moved forward, and many of them have gone to places where they are getting well and they are getting better. But these type of things flare up. Sometimes people retrogress and they go backwards. Not only are they struggling with their things, but now they're struggling with other things. So, knowing that these people are tough. Many of them want to help, and many of them come in and they try to help and reach out to new victims and begin to minister to them through their own tough or trial or situation. And it's incumbent upon all of us to just learn how to help wherever we are, whatever we can do. I don't think anyone has all of the answers or has all of the fixes. But I think collective effort by the majority of people who care and whose hearts go out to them will be able to touch people in a way that can help begin the healing process of getting well, the process of trying to get back to some sense of normalcy, some type of reality where they can face the next day, the next minute, the next hour. And that's what we're trying to do here tonight, and just kind of talk our way through, just trying to feel our way through, just trying to get a mind around what just happened to us. It's devastating, and it's brutal, and you really just have to take it one minute at a time, because if you don't, this thing will wear you out, it'll eat you up, it'll cause you to have all kinds of negative things happen as far as physical health, mental health, spiritual health. And so we just encourage everyone to talk through it, work your way through it, pray your way through it, and we will get through this together. And every time it seems like it's the next most tragic, the worst in our country, and the worst, and each time it seems like it's the worst. And that's the part that gnaws at you. It's like, why do you have to try to make it the worst? Why do you have to try to take it to the next level? Why do you have to bring innocent children into it? It's like one tries to outdo the other. It's just so cruel and evil to be in elementary school. We have it on innocent children. Now I feel my emotions trying to get angry, you know, and you know it's all over the board. It's all over the board. But again, you know, our first responders, you know, our families, our fellow clergy, counselors, psychiatrists, anyone that plays a role, our hat goes off to you because, you know, these people, we are human also, and they really affect us also. And when you begin to pour out counsel and thoughts, words, guidance, it's a draining thing on you also. And you have to be careful as a counselor that you don't get too emotional, that you don't get too drained down as you pour out to so many people and deal with your emotions also. And you know, once you deal with one, you deal with another, and it compounds. And then you have to go home and you have to debrief and you have to get it out of your system. And you know, as pastors, ministers, you know, psychologists, you have to learn careful not to bind yourself up because then you won't be a very effective to other people. And so, again, it's going to take all of us to get through this thing. It's going to take all of us to be able to wind our way through the what, the when, the why, the how, the how do we prevent it, the steps that we need to take. It's going to take a minute, and so you know, that's what we're talking about tonight. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. We're going to take another break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Blog Talk Radio, facebook.com/PastorsAid. Scroll down to the on demand section, and you'll be able to get all of our shows since we've been on the air since April, and you'll be able to listen in on what we're saying today and what we said in our previous shows. Also, if you want to contact us by Twitter, you can get us at PACDC316. Also, Facebook, Pastors Aid, PASTORFAID. And we'll be glad to talk with you on social media. I would like to thank all of our very fine listeners who continue to listen in and support us week after week. It's just a blessing to see so many continue to listen in, and we are grateful to God, and we say that God be the glory, and we pray that you continue to be blessed by my ministry here that seeks to connect people with the resources for wellness in their community. So one of the things we're doing tonight is just talking our way through recent events happened tonight. It seems like, you know, it was just July that we were talking about, you know, what happened in Aurora, Colorado, and the movie theater where a young man just opened up fire on moviegoers. And then to say that we've reached another level or a new low where today a 20-year-old young fellow named Adam Lanza killed his mother and went to his mother's place of employment and killed the principal and staffing at the school, and then actually went on to murder 20 students. And it's just a tough day today. And we want to make sure everyone have a loved one and have anyone that you care about, just give them an extra tight hug today. And I love you and I appreciate you. It's kind of, you know, been a little extra time because these times that we have together are precious, and I think a lot of times we take them for granted. And we're just trying to figure out why or how could a 20-year-old person be so troubled to the point where they would kill their mother and then to go on and kill the principal and the staff and the co-workers where the mother works, and then to take it to the lowest level and kill students also. You know, what goes through a person's mind? Where are they at, and why does it you know, make sense to them at that time that taking these young people's lives is justified, if whatever wrong happened to him or whatever went, you know, between him and his mother, whatever, you know, the situation or circumstance, why would you think it is justified to take on these young people? Again, the profilers believe it could be possibly that the young man felt that, you know, the school and the students received more love or attention from his mother than he did, and psychologically that was getting back to his mother and getting back to those who, that she had developed a relationship with. And it just seems that, you know, innocent life is just so easy to take because it can't fight back. It's almost like taking innocent life is a cowardly way of committing a crime, and then to turn the weapon on yourself to kill yourself to avoid any type of retribution is cowardly, and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth of how someone would just devastate young people's lives, the lives of those survivors, the lives of the first responders, the lives of those who heard about it. We saw our president give remarks today, reflecting back on his children, and you know, anyone who has children, you reflect back and say, you know, we send our children to places of learning, and we expect them to go there and learn and not have to experience these types of things, this tragedy. the reality is that on any given day, any of our young people can experience some type of violence. It's not a grace of God through prayer and through vigilance that many more have not experienced this. And again, we're concerned that, you know, these are becoming copycats and they're becoming more and more. And sadly, this probably is the last one. Just how low can you go in a 5-year-old, 10-year-old? I don't even want to, venture what else could be, on someone's mind to try to one-up, this fella and, try to make their type of crime more, egregious than the one before. And, it's all over the board, You're going to have people come in and say, they have guns and, the whole NRA thing and float all that stuff up. That talk of that is, it's limited. People have to change. None didn't have a brain. People argue the point of the type of ammo magazines that they use, that instead of using the standard 16 clip or 15 clip, you have 30 clips and 45 clips that are modified. You have that much, power, looking into what kind of clips you might have had and ammunition. But you believe that his mom legally purchased weapons, and he gained access to it. So it's a tough thing, and I'm sure that people go down that road. I'm sure the NRA will have something to say. The gun rights opponents, the gun rights activists will have something to say. But at the end of the day, these kids are dead. They're dead. The gun's not saying anything. The bullets are done with, to their little body. And we're left here to debate, guns. I'm sure the whole thing will be brought up. Teachers have, access to weapons. Educators, educators slash, protective. I'm just talking out loud out of frustration, but it's a people thing. It's a person thing. It's a thing of, how we deal with each other. We're the ones that can change the world. People can change the world. The weapons and ammunition can go over so far. No, I don't believe that people should be carrying assault rifles and clips for handguns, hold 45, 30, 100 clips. It's a little excessive. You're just trying to, protect yourself at your house. If you want to, protect yourself, that's one thing. But, to be loaded up like your own militia, it tends to make weapons a little more readily available to people who probably shouldn't have them in their hands. And don't know the mental capacity, the stability of people. And it's hard to even say that. Who should have a weapon? What's the mental stability? There's definitely things that people get evaluated or whatever. There should be a place where you can document that a person is having mental illness, how far is it invading people's rights, or how far is what's really bad to the point where a person even can go see a psychiatrist if in fact he's gone to see someone. That put you in a category where you shouldn't have access to a handgun. So you look at all of those things, all of those reasons, and I'm sure there's points to be made on each side. But at some point, people have to take responsibility for looking out after each other, talking to each other, to getting to a point where you're saying, let's do the responsible thing, let's do what's right. If we're having difficulty, we need to find places where we can, take people, talk to people, But again, you know, if people have identified, you know, mental challenges, and they've been, you know, put on, you know, lists of data, you still can get access to weaponry, and, you know, people don't take their medication, they're off their meds. These type of things will happen, and they'll keep happening. And, you know, for the next couple of days, a week, you know, it'll be on the front burner, and then, you know, quickly we'll turn our attention to something else. And, you know, it'll be the handful of the people that were affected that will continue to try to marshal and change, you know, that will help to mitigate and help to, you know, have these things become less and less. So, you know, all of us just need to be mindful, be prayerful, be respectful, and try to work it out in a civilized manner where we can, you know, be civil with each other, talk to each other, come up with things that will benefit our young people, our children. You know, we need to get out of the way of our politics, with our cynicism, our racism, you know, all of those things that are not really productive when it comes to protecting our children. You know, it's just, you know, the thing where we have to need to look past so many of the hang-ups that we have to say, you know, our children deserve better than this. You know, let's get past, you know, what our hang-ups are, and let's work on what we can to make sure that these incidents become less and less. And I believe that the people, we can get through this and we can get it done. But we just have to remain vigilant, and we just have to remain civil, and we just have to remain determined that we won't allow these things to begin to start flooding our community to a point where we eventually begin to get numb to it. And, you know, we hear children say, when's the next one going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to keep this from happening? And, you know, that's the life seemingly that, you know, we're moving toward. And when people move toward that life, it becomes commonplace. And people no longer are outraged by it. But we should be able to take this outrage and be able to turn it into something that is going to work toward mitigating these types of things. All right, we're going to take another break. After the break, if you want to call in, we invite you to call at 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody?
Holding on through the break. This is Pastor C in Studio 4. we're talking about the who, the what, the when, the how, the why of this tragedy that has occurred in our nation. Where a young man, 20 years old, deals with mom, goes to his mom's work, deals with the mom's principal, and then also deals with 20 elementary age school children. And we were just talking about what has happened to some of the people that are involved and how in this moment in time, because of the freshness of the shooting, that you know, we can come together and look past our differences to bring together our ideas that will help to bring these things into the main front or the forefront. You know, we're saying we need to do whatever we can or whatever it takes to make sure these things become less and less or less often. And, you know, how long is it going to last? Who knows? But I believe with the advent of it being elementary school age children, that I think we'll be on this one a lot longer than if it was young adults or adults. And it does need to be this way. So, you know, wherever you are, whatever your position is, ministry or whatever you're doing, we just challenge you to, you know, make a difference where you are. Be serious about, you know, one thing. You know, I know we can't all do everything, but be serious about one thing that you can do to make a difference in whatever you participate in. Support a first responder, support a teacher, support a youth group, support a ministry that are trying to make a difference in people's lives. And, you know, just pray and just do your part to make a difference, because there's so many people that are troubled out there and have someone just to talk to, a resource that they can go to. So many times it, you know, just that small thing can help prevent, you know, these type of tragedies. And I'm sure that, you know, many more have been prevented by people just like you who are going out and just making a difference, you know, just to be a good father, a good mother, you know, a good son or a daughter, grandparent, someone just there and, you know, looking out, you know, for us, you know, even during our difficult times of growing up, you know, trying to transition from, you know, a teenager to from an adolescent to a teenager to a young adult, to trying to find your way, you know, be there for someone that, you know, you can make a difference in their lives. And a lot of times, you know, those are the deciding factors, the determining factors, if someone was just there, they said, hey, you can do it, it's going to be all right, don't worry about it, you know, things can get better. Just take it, you know, step at a time. Someone there just to say that a lot of times can, you know, be a determining factor whether someone goes, you know, in the right direction or the wrong direction. So we believe, you know, at Agitated CDC, that there's a role for everyone. If we want to experience wellness in our community, that we definitely need to start being more participatory. You know, hiding behind our four walls, or where we live, in our apartments, condos, our houses, and start just venturing out a little bit more to make a difference in our community. Like I said, you don't have to do the whole world, but I believe that there's a role for everyone in making our communities well. I believe that everyone has a role to play, that everyone can be a resource that someone can get connected to for wellness of our community. And that's how we begin to make inroads on these type of things, is that everyone's playing a role for us to get better. And we have to be a little less selfish, a little more giving of our time and our talent. And that's how we experience wellness in our community. And, you know, I believe everyone wants to experience wellness in their community. So we all have to play a role in doing that. And when we do that, again, we begin to start putting in place programs and people and things that will help reach people or whatever difficult situation they are in their life, you know, whether it's mental, psychological, physical, financial, whatever place it is, that, you know, these things will be more readily available. Because when they're not, and people turn to these deadly decision makers, it affects us all. So, you know, if it affects us all, I think all of us have a role to play. Does that make sense? You know, if it affects us all, then all of us have a role to play, I believe. And I believe more of us play a role, the less we'll experience it. So we're going to invite you to, and challenge you to get involved, do your part. And like I said, it doesn't have to be a big part. And pray for these families, everyone involved with this situation. We're encouraging everyone to spend some time with your family. These things with your family is one of the things that we're doing here at Pastor Gate TVC. We're modifying our show time frame and spend more time with our family. And on Friday night, on the last Friday night, we spent some time with my son during his birthday. And it was good for him, good for me. And so we're going to sprinkle our air times around a little bit different so that we can spend some more time with our family and that we can experience wellness in our household also. And we're encouraging everyone to do that. And as we do our recordings, we invite you to call in, or if you can't call in, to look in the archives to continue to listen to some of the subjects that we're talking about. Prayerfully, they're benefiting you and putting you in places where you can receive us as resources to help with you and the wellness of your community. So we invite you to always go back after our show is over and go to www.blogtalkradio.com/pastorsaid and scroll down to the on-demand section. You can hear all of our shows in their entirety. Again, on Thursday nights, we do a family-style interactive Bible study. We call it Peanuts. There's nothing new on the front. Myself and my big sister, Sheila and Steve, and her husband, Dr. Gregory. And we just keep it real and talk about some of the things the Bible shares with us. We want to invite you to listen to that well on Thursday night. And then also on Sunday nights, we also broadcast and have interesting subjects. So we invite you to listen in on Sunday night starting at 7 also. And also you can catch us on conversation with us through social network, Twitter, PACBC316, and also Facebook, and it's Pastors PASTORSAID. And we'll be glad to conversate with you. Again, tonight we just want you to all your thoughts and your prayers to go out to these families and children, you know, between the age of 5 and 10 that are not coming home tonight, that still have their bodies at the crime scene. And you just can only imagine what the parents are going through. So you're going to need a lot of help, a lot of assistance in your own community, just being there with someone, helping them talk through. You know, that's what we're doing on here tonight, just helping folks talk through, get through, make it through. So that they can begin to start getting back to some type of normalcy in their lives, if that can be possible, and move forward. We'll get through this. We'll move forward. We will heal. We will minister. We will do whatever it takes to help each other, and that's what it's all about. So we're going to end up tonight with that. Thank everyone again for tuning in. I want to go back to the Hawkeye show in about 15 minutes. You'll be able to hear it. But again, thoughts and prayers goes out to the folks in Connecticut, in Newtown, Connecticut, the Sandy Hook Elementary School there in Newtown. And we pray that God's speed will be with you and that his presence will be with you to help through this healing process. All right, that's going to do with do us for tonight. And now that you have the resource, we ask you to get connected. That's the end of our show, and we're going to end tonight. Beverly, we'll talk to you on Sunday night. All right, God bless, and keep the peace.